Hallelujah. Pray with me. So into your holy city, O God, we would come as your people. Gather us in, children of the beloved, and hear with us the good news that your angels proclaim. Offer to us now in these words and these thoughts the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we might be equipped not only to hear, but to act and serve in the name of the risen Christ, who is Jesus our Lord. Amen. A couple of years ago, Elizabeth and I were given the privilege of a couple of tickets to attend the Bengals football game, our first time back to the game for a while, and we made our way downtown and found a parking garage a couple blocks north of the main crossing and moved our way across the thoroughfare and came up to the gates. The security guards were there and they looked stunned at us. Elizabeth was carrying her black purse. That's right. In 2013, the NFL and the Paul Brown Stadium instituted the new regulation that the only purse you could bring in is a clear purse. They looked at her. She looked at me. She handed me the purse. And I manly walked back 2.5 blocks. Locked it in the car and turned back and came and greeted her. Now, you can explore with her later why I got the purse. She knew where we parked the car. That wasn't hidden news. And some of you may have had people ask you, do you know your pastor carries a purse? I just want you to have answers. You and I don't know much about gates these days, as they would have in Jesus' day. But the gates that have been described for us, both in the reference out of Revelation of this heavenly city that God is descending with 12 gates on each side, 3 to the east, 3 to the north, 3 to the south, 3 to the west, angels at each one, and under the foundations, the name of the apostles, you and I get the picture of this heavenly gate. There's not a security guard standing there asking, are you bringing a black purse in? It's all revealed. We carry clear purses. God knows who's entering. There's nothing you're going to hide from him. This morning we encounter the promise that God gave to Abraham. By you, because you've not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless all the nations of the earth. And your descendants will be like the multitude of the stars and the sands on the beach. And you will possess the gate of your enemies. An interesting phrase for those of us who are unfamiliar with gates, or only gates that security guards stand at and say you can't come in. These gates that are referenced here, the gates of your enemies, is the ancient understanding that in fact you and I will have control over our enemies, that they will not have power or influence or dominion here. I'd remind you that this heavenly vision of John did not describe the wooden gates and the locks in which you could close them to keep your enemies out. It in fact described that there's just names over the doors, the arches. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. The King of Glory shall come in. That's an Advent hymn if you're not familiar with it. It's an invitation for us to understand that we're to fling wide the portals of our hearts and the gates that we often erect to try and keep our enemies out and our friends in, to understand that these gates that God invites us to enter, that are blessings to Abraham and to his descendants and to all the nations, are different than the kind of gates you and I encounter. If you would think quickly that there is something you have to do to get in, be careful. This same promise that is articulated here by God when he said, because you did not withhold your son, that reference that somehow we have to do something to get in, oh, be careful. You got to remember chapter 12, where this same invitation to Abraham to bless the nations of the world was given to him in faith that he'd leave his family and his lands and would follow God. It's the same blessing that's being repeated here. This understanding that for you and me, Abraham's blessing is a blessing to all the nations, not those who could answer the questions. Did anybody, when they were standing at the door, you were coming in this morning, hand you a bulletin, ask you, you have to enter and answer 10 questions to get in? It's not like that here. Maybe you'd want us to be that way, that there's this test that somehow we could figure out, should you come in or not? But that's not the entrance into God's house and God's kingdom. Abraham, you are to be the blessing to all the nations. It's an unbelievable blessing given to Abraham, to his descendants, and now to us, that we will possess the gates of our enemies. Oh, enemies are no longer to have dominion over us. Power is no longer to have control or influence. These gates that are often for protection. In the Old Testament, we hear the lookouts and the watchmen who stand ready on guard to sound the alarm. Those are angels in God's city. And what's an angel but a messenger of this divine truth that God has finished the battle? This holy city isn't just a little Jerusalem, a place where we might gather with our tribes. This is a holy city, a new Jerusalem. Gates were, in Jesus' day, often places where judgments were spoken. Kings would have seats at the gates, and they would rule right and wrong for the people. It would be as if government and law were standing at our doors asking us, can we come in? Gates, you see, they were centers for community. They were centers for news. They were centers for economy. They weren't just there as barriers. They were marking posts and opportunities that you and I would understand what the writer of Proverbs in Proverbs 31 meant when he was describing this wonderful, loving wife. And he ends the whole litany of all of her gifts and all of her traits. And he says, let her works bring praise at the city gate. Now you get the idea that these gates of God, these invitations to be God's people, Abraham's blessing, is not just for an elite few, but for all those who could easily hear and obey the work of God. Abraham's blessing is that same blessing that Jesus reminds us in Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Jesus said, you've heard it say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of the Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus was reminding us that in his day, there were people that were misquoting the book of Leviticus chapter 19, 18. They were quoting it, love your enemies. Oh, no. Hate your enemies and love your neighbors. That was the phrase of the day. Leviticus 19, 18 says it Jesus' way. Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This invitation not to find a way to keep one's neighbor out, but as Jesus would challenge us, not merely to love our neighbor as ourselves, but pray for them. Enter into this relationship of God's forgiveness that all of us are entitled, not because we've answered the right question, but because of this new Jerusalem, the gate that comes in and opens for us the kingdom wide. Our tickets were up in the upper level of Paul Brown Stadium. We made our way up into the stadium, and if you've never had a chance to do it, even if you don't have seats up there, I'd recommend take the escalator. It has this amazing view of the riverfront as well as this sea of humanity that's gathering for the sporting event. We got up into the top, and we were sitting there and looking out across all the sea of humanity, and there, down across the stadium, down into the lower level, were friends of ours. And we stood up where we were and we waved our hands as if somebody down that low would even be looking up to see somebody waving for them. Couldn't get their attention. I'm sure all the people around us thought we were a little wacky. Why are you waving? Trying to get somebody's attention across the stadium. Elizabeth took out her smartphone and she dialed it quickly, and we watched them. It buzzed, and he stirred around in his pocket and he pulled it out and he looked. And he looked up into the stadium to find us there. And we were up there waving and waving, and they waved back. I have a suspicion that's what it's like in the city of God, where all the nations of the world are gathered together in some place across that sea of humanity. You and I are going to see a friend, and we're going to try and get their attention. Maybe we won't need a smartphone then, because all God's children are invited to be blessed and to be a blessing. For all the nations of the earth shall possess the gates of their enemies. And the power and influence and fear, that'll all be left outside. You and I will be welcoming our friends and our neighbors, for it is the Lord who says so. Amen.